They've been called the medication generation. 20-somethings who started taking psychiatric drugs to control depression, hyperactivity, and other diagnoses when they were just kids. Some psychiatrists call this group a giant uncontrolled experiment that's using America's children as guinea pigs. So what's the impact of young people taking these drugs for so many years? Caitlin Bell Barnett wanted to find out. She'll be 29 next month, and when she was 17, she started taking Prozac to cope with depression after talk therapy didn't help. She began to interview other young people like her to examine the increase in children and adolescents taking psychiatric meds. Bell's research has turned into a book called Dosed, The Medication Generation Grows Up. It follows five young people, many of them now adults, who were medicated starting when they were children. She joined me to talk about it. And Caitlin, let's start with your own story. What happened when you first started taking Prozac?
For me, when I first went on medication, it seemed pretty basic. It was like I was very unhappy and I wanted a pill to fix it. And I took the pill and it helped me. And that was, for a while, the end of the story. Later, it got more complicated for me. The pill stopped working. I started having problems with anxiety, and the story, like I say, sort of mushroomed and got more complicated. But what I ended up realizing was that, in fact, that was typical for many people that I interviewed, which is that the link between why they were taking medication and their disorders was not as clear for many of them as you might imagine.
It wasn't clear to them how the drug was supposed to fix whatever problem they were diagnosed as having?
That's correct. And that might be for a variety of reasons. It could be because they started taking medication when they were very young, and maybe because nobody explained it to them very well.
You write about how one mother told her daughter, "You're taking this because of headaches." And she later realized it wasn't a drug for headaches at all. It was a psychiatric drug.
That's right. There's another example in the book of a foster child who was just given medications basically as a way of controlling his behavior, and he sort of gleaned that it was a way to get him to shut up. And maybe that was the reason, but realistically, there could have been other reasons as well. It could have been to help him do better in school, but nobody ever explained it to him that way. And so there could have been all kinds of reasonable reasons going on that a young child doesn't necessarily understand. And so the kid comes up with their own explanations. Another kind of thing that goes on is that kids' problems are sort of constantly changing because kids are constantly growing and changing. And so their symptoms are manifesting differently over time. And so the link between the disorder and the medication is sort of constantly in flux.
In one case, one of the people you profile, I think this was a boy named Paul, who started at age 5, I believe, was put on psychiatric medications for anger and hyperactivity. He had had a very unstable home life, ended up in foster care. Much later, he came to see that as the wrong treatment. He was given Ritalin, and he felt like his behavior stemmed from a troubled childhood and wasn't necessarily a mental problem. Did you find that in cases, people who felt like, should I not have been on this drug for all those years?
I did. Paul was probably one of the more extreme cases where I happened to agree with him. It did sound from his circumstances that he really had been deprived of love and care. On the other hand, I could sort of sympathize with his overwhelmed caregivers, the foster care workers, that it did sound like they had a very hyperactive and aggressive little boy on their hands. You know, in their situation, perhaps I'm not sure what I would do either. There were other people who said, no, you know what? I was a very hyperactive child. I understand why my parents or my doctors gave me medication to control my behavior. I don't need it anymore. I outgrew it. I'm doing just fine without it. So they understood and they were sort of forgiving of the reasons why their parents did medicate them when they were younger, even though they didn't feel they needed it any longer.
Your remark about the feeling that you've outgrown your medication, I think gets at this idea that a drug can change your sense of identity because you start to be confused about how am I supposed to feel? What should normal living be like and how much is the drug? And I'm wondering if you feel like that's a struggle for you now, that because you've known life for so long as being medicated, that is it hard to know what life not medicated should feel like?
Yes, I think so. And I think there's this constant tension for me and for so many people that I interviewed where you do want to try life off medication and you don't want to use medication as a crutch. And even if you do feel that medication has helped your symptoms, the fact is very few people want to be on medication long term. And most people that I interviewed, including me, you know, sort of aspire to be either not on medication or on a lower dose of medication or on fewer medications. And I recently have tried to taper off to be on fewer medications. It hasn't worked out so well, to be honest.
Although in your case, when you did go off your medication in college, you wrote later that you wondered, was it a relapse or was it possibly simply physical withdrawal from the drug?
It could have been that. You know, I was only off it for about a month. I later realized that you do have to give your body probably more time than that to acclimate. I just reacted so badly and I had what I now recognize to be a very nervous episode. And I just sort of rushed to go back on the medication.
You write about the possibility that drugs can take away some of your youth, in a sense. But on the other hand, that so can mental illness. You know, if you're depressed, it can keep you from feeling enthusiastic and vivacious, as young people often do. Have you had any sense that you lost some of your youth because of the drugs you were on?
I do sometimes feel like that. Some of it is just the very simple fact of looking at a line of pill bottles or feeling these side effects that you feel tired or lethargic or experiencing other kinds of side effects that feel wrong, that feel like something that an old person should be experiencing. I've seen that again and again and heard that again and again from the people that I interviewed. I recently blogged about sexual side effects of some of the medications. That was a prominent theme that cropped up again and again in my interviews with people. We expect young people to be in their, you know, their sexual prime, and it just seems wrong for them to experience loss of libido and other kinds of sexual side effects. And yet these medications do cause those kinds of problems, for example.
In terms of the long-term physical effects, many of them are unknown. You know, there are concerns that some of these drugs could lead to obesity or early onset diabetes or make people more prone to being bipolar. And you talk about how some young women who have been on a psychiatric medication since their teens or earlier are now at a stage where they would like to have a child and are still on the drugs and quite concerned about the impact of that. So we still seem to see the consequences to this day as people get older.
Yes, and I think that that's a good example of kind of unforeseen consequences. You know, when you first start taking a pill, the young woman Claire in the book, she was 11 years old, and that I don't think that that was something she was thinking about when she was 11 years old.
We're coming up on a quick break, but when we come back, we'll hear more about Claire and what happened to her 20 years later when she wanted to have kids. And later in the show, is there wealth in outer space? A new company plans to mine asteroids for iron, platinum, and gold. Back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with Caitlin Bell Barnett. She's the author of Dosed, The Medication Generation Grows Up. Just like many of the people she interviewed for her book, Caitlin has been taking drugs to control mental health issues since she was a teenager. And Caitlin, just before the break, we were talking about one of the people you interviewed, a woman named Claire. She started taking depression medication when she was 11, and now she's an adult and wants to have children. How did she deal with that?
It was a very real dilemma for her. You know, did she want to possibly court relapse of her anxiety and depression, which could have deleterious effects on her developing fetus? Or did she want to take medications that could have side effects and a risk of birth defects on the baby? She ultimately gave birth to what seems to be a very healthy little baby girl, but actually had gone off the medications and had suffered a quite bad relapse. Scared her quite a bit.
Caitlin, a very basic question that you ask in your book is, what does it mean to grow up a medicated kid? Have you come up with your own answer to that?
For me, You know, I think I started medications a little bit later in life, and so...
Again, age 17 in your case.
Age 17, and so I do sort of count myself on the tail end of that.
Although certainly many people older than you would think that 17 is quite early to be starting a drug, not late, although you clearly look at it the other way.
One thing that I have come up with is that it really is an evolving definition. Being medicated is something that I think about. I've come to see as part of me and come to incorporate into my definition of myself and understand that it does change me and affect me over time, and that I think that'll continue to be the case.
As you know, there's continuing debate and controversy within the scientific world about how effective antidepressants are. And there are some scientists who doubt that they're any more effective than a placebo. What does it feel like for you to have spent so much of your youth taking some pretty heavy-duty drugs that scientists now wonder if they are that effective?
It's a little sad, actually. It makes me doubt some of myself. And it makes me feel, honestly, a little defensive. It makes me feel like I need to justify some of it, to be honest. But at the same time, you know, I think personal experience is valid. And I think the personal experience of the people that I interviewed when they say that their own experience on medication was effective and it got rid of their symptoms, I believe them. And I try to give credence to that. And I hope that people will give some credence to my personal experience as well. And I think some of the more eloquent defenders of antidepressants, you know, point out that just because there is some evidence that, for instance, there's a large placebo effect in some of these clinical studies, for example, doesn't mean that the drugs don't work for many people. It just means that the studies include also many people who are inclined to experience a placebo effect, for example.
Caitlin, I should also note that your book is a very thorough look at why there was such an increase in young people taking psychiatric medications. You write that it's still more adults overall in raw numbers that take them, but the growth in young people has been huge. And you talk about the reasons for that, not only new pharmaceutical discoveries, but parents driving it because they want their kids to be happy and fulfilled and high achieving, and they think drugs can help with that. You also talk about the economics of health insurance. Would you describe a little bit the changes that pushed many doctors to begin prescribing psychiatric drugs rather than the talk therapy you started with?
Right. Well, what we saw in the 1980s and 1990s was a shift towards managed care. And so there was a shift from doctors being able to see patients for longer periods of time. This was true for both primary care doctors and psychiatrists, to them needing to cram in more patients into short blocks of time.
Which means that writing a prescription is often much more time efficient than sitting down and talking with someone.
Exactly. And what happened with psychiatrists was that they ended up actually being reimbursed at a much higher rate for a medication visit than for a psychotherapy visit. So they could spend 45 minutes talking with their patient, or they could cram in several different medication management visits and make a lot more money. There were also just a lot more drugs available on the market, so they had more tools at their disposal. And realistically, you know, when you have those tools available to you, you're going to want to use them.
Caitlin, you began taking Prozac. You were on that into college. And then after college, you changed to something else, a drug called Klonopin, and then later something called Effexor?
Yes, I began taking Effexor and Klonopin together. I started experiencing very intense anxiety after college that felt very new to me, although I later recognized that I'd had small episodes of anxiety during college as well that I just didn't really know what to call them.
And in the old days, of course, or sort of how old-timers might put it, is you toughed it out. And, you know, some people believe we're just not toughing out what in the old days people just, it was part of living, it was part of growing up. Do you think that was too callous of an approach back then before we had these drugs as an option?
I do. I think there was a lot of suffering, and I think there were a lot of lost months and lost years. My advice to parents, you know, who are thinking about medicating their children would be not to be hasty about it, because there can also be side effects, and those can really damage young lives as well. I mean, the young man that I call Paul in the book developed terrible diabetes as a result of the antipsychotics that he was taking, for example. So there can be terrible repercussions to taking medication. But if the children are really suffering for months and years and they're really having sustained dysfunction and the parents have tried other kinds of methods like therapy, behavior modification, I wouldn't encourage the parents to consider medication seriously as an option.
Caitlin Bell Barnett is the author of Dosed, The Medication Generation Grows Up. Caitlin, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, retired Army Colonel Andrew Basevich on military accountability for soldier misconduct. Also, the soulful sound of rock musician Martin Sexton. That's tomorrow. Still ahead today, the woman who created Sookie Stackhouse. We talk with Charlene Harris about her books, which inspired the TV series True Blood. News is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, and by Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School has online and on-campus courses for students around the world, extension.harvard.edu, and by the Institute of Contemporary Art Boston with Figuring Color, exploring the expressive power of color in paintings and sculpture, icaboston.org.